when you come to America, you have no choice. You're going to be influenced by black. The swag, the culture, it is what it is. There's so many other aspects of who we are as black people. And I think that being in this position allows me to help influence and amplify that. As I got older, it just became harder to deny. You can't deny your name,
right,
and your head shape, cheekbones, these things that people are like, nah, bro, you here, but you ain't from here.
Right.
So this is to me the diversity of the diaspora. Because once we get together and we're right, everybody else falls in
1,000%.
Line.
Wait, I know you want to watch this next video, but listen, if you are an entrepreneur, business coach, business consultant, or a small business owner who has a story and wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income from your story, I need you to text me right now, my book, to 646-687-4152. That is my personal number. I have been an author for over 12 years. I've written 10 books. Four of them have been bestsellers, and I've sold over 100,000 books, but I've also helped a lot of my clients take their expertise and put it into a story, then create multiple streams of income from that. So I want to help you do the same thing. So text my book to 646-687-4152. All right, let's go back to the video. So welcome to another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Listen, we have an awesome show for you today. We have our guest, Mr. Osei Kweku, who is an extraordinary guest who has made his mark across the entertainment, media, and entrepreneur world. Osei is an international multimedia personality with over two decades of experience covering and analyzing politics, entertainment news, tech, sports, and more. As an on-air personality with his distinctive voice, Osei's talents have been sought after in major markets up and down the East Coast, like Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Atlanta. You may know Osei from his work on WPGC 95.5, 93.3, WKYS, BET, The Gospel Channel, and as the former Atlanta Falcons game day host, but his reach extends far beyond pioneering the Afrobeats experience in the Southeast by introducing artists like WizKid and DaBange, I hope I said that right, to the Atlanta market. Osei is a true global tastemaker with expertise in inclusive marketing, creative culture, and leveraging his relationships with brands, athletes, entertainers, and influencers worldwide. He is the founder of Dark Secret International, and he has brokered impactful business deals that bring products and services to market in innovative ways. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for my guy, Osei.
The Dark Secret!
Ash, man. What's I'm up, like, man? Who is that guy?
Let's go.
What's up, brother? How you feeling?
Man, I'm doing well. Nah, it's a pleasure, brother. Respect. It's a pleasure, man. Yeah. I think for me, man, like, being in your presence and being around somebody who's so accomplished, so connected, somebody who's always on, the cutting edge of what's going on. And I think for me, most importantly, as I look, and this is just me being 100% honest with my truth, is as I look at America and how dysfunctional it's always been, though. I think America, and I don't want to take away from America as a great country that gives us the freedom to really build financial freedom and wealth now, today. But I look at business, and I study business, and I realize that America isn't the end-all, be-all. Like, there is a global playing field that we could really kind of tap into. And you've been somebody that's been on that before it was cool, right? Yeah, before it was cool.
Yeah.
And so I want to get into that a lot, man, today. But before we start, man, for our insiders, for the people who don't know, who is Osei Kweku?
Man, listen, I'm a servant. I'm just a brother here that wants to further close or bring together the diaspora. You know, the position that I'm working with now or that I'm in now is with DDM Group, which, you know, I run business development for the company. Mm-hmm. But more so than anything, I feel like I'm impacting and helping to influence and change the world through media. I think that that's, you know, why I feel like I'm working in my purpose, you know, saying more than I ever did in the past. I think, you know, when you look at music and, you know, we've gone through so many changes, right? We're on the cusp of Black Music Month in June. And when you kind of look at the landscape of what's happening in music, unfortunately, they've made, you know, the Black image the poster child for all these negative things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
we don't have to get into these specific, you know, artists per se, but, you know, whether it's, you know, unfortunately, SA, it's gang violence or violence in general, now violence, you know, towards women. There's so many other aspects of who we are as Black people. And I think that, you know, being in this position allows me to help influence and amplify that. You know what I mean? Because brothers like yourself who, you know, are sharing this knowledge, are doing the work on a day-to-day basis, those things don't get highlighted, unfortunately. Not in mainstream media.
For sure.
It takes having these alternative voices, you know, so to speak, to really shine a light on who we really are as a people, right? And so, you know, when I'm talking about, unfortunately, you know, you have Thug going through what he's going through, you know, and I'm, you know, we might as well just talk about it because it's like stating the obvious, right? Diddy, you know, but there's so many other aspects of who we are. And so, you know, you almost forget about all of the positive accomplishments because now, you know, negativity sells faster, 100%, right? 100%. And so, you know, getting into this role for me was, you know, almost an about face. I look at it like maybe some of the powers that be, you know, in certain aspects of radio were treating it like it was going down the blockbuster route. Whereas, you know, you definitely want to be on the Netflix train that next iteration is. And so that's what I've been able to do. Shout out to, you know what I'm saying, Neil Nelson, Tracy Dornelli for, you know, saying, giving me an opportunity and a platform like that to really, you know, stretch some of my other muscles and really show, you know, where all these worlds come together. I'm used to dealing with clients. I'm used to dealing with brands, obviously being in radio for so long. But now it's like taking that and putting a different spin on it. Here we are.
So break that down for me a little bit, right? So like you've been in radio over two decades. Radio, you know, you've used your voice a lot to, you know, like I mentioned in your bio, to, you know, break artists and to... You've done a lot of impactful things, and when you talk about DDM Media Group, what is that, and how are they on the cutting edge? How is that different from what you were doing at radio?
So DDM stands for Diamond Diaspora Media Group, and you know our flagship publication is Atlanta Black Star. So AtlantaBlackStar.com, which is in essence the Washington Post, New York Times, for us as a people, as a community. And so what they've done is bring these hard-hitting news stories to us first and foremost, and then to the world, things that, you know, we need to know about that, you know, are impacting our community, whether it's George Floyd, you know, Ahmaud Arbery, just, you know, just any and everything that impacts our community, both, you know, in terms of, you know, social justice, wealth, finance, you know, TSL is our partnership with Keith Klingscale, who launched Vibe magazine and was the CEO of Revolt and launched that as well. But he's a industry veteran who, you know, has brought a lot to the table as well. And so, you know, the Shadow League focuses on Black athletes, you know, primarily athletes of color. And so I think that, you know, we take a bit of a holistic approach to speaking about all the things going on in our community. And really the goal is to amplify because, you know, unfortunately, we realize that in mainstream media, so much of what it is that we are as a people, what we do, doesn't get covered. And you're not going to cover everything, you know, in Black History Month when you're trying to take it back and then bring it forward. You can't get to all that. So we're making history every day. And so, you know, it's about aligning with people who have a similar value system, you know what I mean, to us, that we can really work in a spirit of harmony with.
Yeah, no, I love that. Yeah. And talk to me a little bit about, you know, doing business, you know, in the diaspora, doing business, you know, globally, you know, similarly to what you mentioned. So like my parents are from Haiti, right? Mm-hmm. And I always hear people say, man, Haiti's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And I'm like, no, it's not, right? And even as a Haitian, you know, I'm American born Haitian, child, I was always afraid to go to Haiti.
Yeah.
Because every time I turn on the television, all I saw was negativity, gangs and killings and all that stuff. And so I never wanted to go. I turned 40 years old. And for my 40th birthday, I was like, I cannot leave this earth without touching my mother's land.
Yeah.
And so I took the family over to Haiti. The best trip I've ever been on in my life.
Yeah.
To the point where it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm talking about beautiful. I'm talking about, like, they have a beach called Paradise that feels like paradise, right? And so even fast forward to today, because people only say, oh, that was 2020. Well, the gangs take over. No, there's DJs, festivals. There's still things happening in Haiti. And the media, right? Who said this? The media, probably Tupac. The media is full of dirty tricks, right? Mm. The media will have you think that Haiti is in disarray and, you know, the gangs take over and, you know, we need help and all this other stuff. And I'm not saying that the capital isn't crazy.
Yeah.
But D.C. is the murder capital of the U.S.
Right.
Right? D.C. is the murder capital right now.
Yeah.
D.C. is the murder capital. Salute that, all my D.C. folk.
Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, nobody's like, oh, my God, the U.S. is in shambles because of D.C.
Yeah.
Same equivalent.
Yeah.
And I say all that to say, because that's what they do to Africa.
Yes.
Absolutely. Like, that's what they do to Africa. I remember a couple, I mean, you know, Suzanne Summers with the skinny kid with the big belly and the flies. You're like, man, I am not going to Africa.
Yeah, I said the same thing. I mean, I'm glad that we can have these real come to Jesus moments, right? About just what it's like being first generation in this country. And I say that because just like you, I came over here and I forgot. Mm. You know what I'm saying? When I got here, I didn't speak English. Mm. And then I think I suppressed that so hard that I forgot the native language.
Wow.
Because I wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, my stepmother's been in my life since I was 5 as well. So we didn't necessarily practice at home, you know, and living with my father. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my mother's always been in my life as well. Mm-hmm. But I say that there's certain cultural fundamentals that you almost want to ensure are being maintained.
Yeah.
And so just like yourself, as I got older, it just became harder to deny. You can't deny your name.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Your head shape. You know what I'm saying? These cheekbones. Yeah, these things that people are like, nah, bro, you here, but you ain't from here.
Right.
So this is to me the diversity of the diaspora, right? We're very similar, but we all have innate differences that make us all come together. When I'm talking about the diaspora, I'm talking about Haiti, Jamaica. Yeah. Well, I'm talking about anywhere that we are globally in the world is essentially, you know, saying represents that. And we have so much flavor that we bring who we are to those places.
Yeah.
But we also know how to take those things and we can spice it up a little bit. Excellent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, that good, you know what I'm saying, cooking that, you know, we know exists in Haiti and so many, you know, French African countries or French influence. Yep. I'd rather say that because, you know, a lot of times we took what we were oppressed by and we made that our identity as opposed to understanding who we are. And I mean, you know, I think these things were on purpose.
Yeah,
so it's almost like, you know, we're naturally tribal people. Mm-hmm. That's our default setting. Mm-hmm. So we have to be intentional about, oh, hold on, that's my brother. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, he might be able to speak, you know, Creole, mm-hmm. or he might speak a little French, but we're still one and the same. You feel me?
Yeah.
And I think that we had gotten away from that. And I think we were listening to what the people that oppressed us told us about what happened. So it was like, why would I trust you with my history when you're the reason why we're here in the first place?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, we always have to figure out a way to move forward, but still acknowledge the past. And I say that meaning, you know, for most people, you know, when it comes to colonization, you're always told to move forward, forget the past.
Yeah.
But when you forget the past, you forget so many other things about yourself.
Absolutely.
And so many things that you're not learning about yourself.
Yeah.
No different than, you know, any city USA, right? Any city, any black city USA, let's just say DC, for example. And DC is my city. I love DC. It made me. But there are plenty of black people in DC who've never been to the African American History Museum. They've never been to, you know, the Lincoln Memorial, just, you know, as it relates to overall history.
Yeah.
Just like there are people in Atlanta that have never been to Dr. King's house
yeah.
and have no intention of going.
Right.
Because, again, subconsciously, when you're told to keep it moving,
yeah.
forget about the past,
yeah.
you know, most black people are in a state of surviving.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it constantly puts you in that. And so you forget a lot of traditions.
Mm-hmm.
You forget a lot of your own history. You don't know everything that you should know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I say that even as it relates to my own family. There's still history and understandings of our relatives that, you know, we learn, like when my grandmother died. She
mm-hmm.
was like a matriarch for our family. Mm-hmm. And when she passed away, you just started hearing different stories and you started to understand things a lot better.
Yeah.
And so hopefully, you know, the ideal thing is not to wait until circumstances like death arise
mm-hmm.
before we get to studying and knowing much more about ourselves. And that goes on a broader scale. Like, you know, one thing about being in America, unfortunately, America is so big and so mighty that it supersedes everything,
mm-hmm.
right? And so even when it comes to black American history, it's just a byproduct of America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the capital, it's the marketing machine that America is.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dollar, that dollar mm-hmm. is universally recognized as a very powerful thing because
right.
it's the American dollar.
Mm-hmm.
But even black American history somewhat puts, you know, that history is first when it comes to defining black history,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to as collective as it probably should be.
Yeah.
And black America has an opportunity to lead that charge.
Absolutely.
No different than, you know, people in America, black America going to the diaspora
yeah.
or going to back home
yeah.
and doing business,
yeah.
which I encourage all of us should find some way, shape or form, a way or an opportunity to do business, because that's where the world is going.
Yeah.
Africa is like the last frontier,
yeah.
and it's showing itself to be such every day when you talk about Russia, China,
yeah.
and all these other foreign
mm-hmm.
interests
mm-hmm.
that are taking root. And the same for Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Haiti that they show us
right.
is very much on purpose.
1,000%.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you would think, you wouldn't know that Haiti and the DR are the mm-hmm. same island.
Same island, yeah.
Okay? But the caste system
mm-hmm.
that they brought from East India
mm-hmm.
and they made sure it got spread throughout the world
yeah.
is that system that even impacts the island,
yeah.
right? So Dominicans are almost looking down on Haitians,
right.
unfortunately.
Right.
And it's like, bro, you look like me.
Exactly, yeah.
You
yeah.
just speak,
right.
you know what I'm saying,
right.
Spanish or
Spanish,
whatever,
right,
but
right.
you're me.
Right.
But that's the thing is, all we've ever wanted in this world, in my opinion, you know, is to make people feel like they're just a little bit better than
mm-hmm.
these black folks.
Yep.
You see what
yep.
I'm saying? And then when we started to embrace who we were, it became difficult. And that's universal. I've never seen Africa get this much love.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've
yeah.
never seen this much pride. But I'll tell you, for me, as a first generation, you know, African kid growing up here, some of my greatest heroes were Haitians.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dessalines,
yep.
Toussaint,
yep.
Wyclef
yep.
is one of my OGs,
yeah.
and he helped really put me in the game in music. So
yeah.
I've always felt a kindred, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying, energy there, as well as Jamaica. You
yep.
know what I mean? You can't deny Jamaican culture and
yeah.
its influence on the world.
Yeah. And oddly enough, and this is something that I learned actually through my wife, because she wrote, like, you know, books about, you know, the Haitian Revolution.
Mm.
There would be no Haiti, free Haiti, without Duddy Bookman, who was from Jamaica.
Yes. And see, that's what I'm saying. We have to know that we overlap.
Overlap, for sure.
We all overlap. Like,
yeah.
hey, man, I mean, Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And listen, my stepmother, my grandfather, foundational black Americans,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they raised me,
yeah.
but, you know, I was raised with a different purview because of where I sit
yeah.
and culturally what I bring to the table.
Yeah.
So it just, And I'm glad I had that experience. Absolutely. Because it impacts and it also helps to push me to, you know, visit these other places and just see what's going on.
Yeah.
Because the greatest export that we all have is culture.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's not, Jamaica doesn't have an export like sugar or thing. No, they exporting patties.
Right.
Jerk, whatever. Right, you know what I'm saying? It's culture. Yeah. And you have to appreciate that. And that's the thing about understanding, you know, and I know that black people are traveling now more than we ever have.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So just it's just learning, you know what I'm saying, the norms when you go into a particular country so you can show its proper respect. You know what I mean? And so I think doing global business, we all naturally have it in us. Mm-hmm. It's just about, you know, getting that passport and getting beyond. Because, you know, sometimes, like I said, in America, and I say it because it's like the greatest magnifier. Mm-hmm. Most people want to represent whatever block, whatever hood, whatever. You know, we're all looking for something to hold on to that we can call our own.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it manifest itself in all these other things. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is, you know what I'm saying, we have to, you know, get beyond this square and go out and venture out into the world and really explore.
Yeah, you know? How do we bridge that gap, right? Because you mentioned, you know, foundational Black Americans, and I, you know, when I hear that term, and I'm not against the term or anything like that, but I see it as a way to divide us, like it's division, right? Because, you know, I remember there was a different name before. I forget what they were called before.
Ados,
right? Mm-hmm. So I remember the Ados movement. And I understood, right, because of reparations and making sure that if reparations are paid, they should be paid to Ados or foundational Black Americans. Unfortunately, it started to grow beyond just reparations. And it felt like another way to sort of like divide Black people, right? And to me, like even though my parents are from Haiti, I grew up in America. I'm American, right? Yeah. Like I grew up in America. I've never been stopped by a cop and they said, "Hey, are you from the Caribbean or are you Ados or are you?" I mean, that's never happened to me,
right?
All throughout my career in corporate America, I was in banking for 15 years. All of my, never was I treated different as a Black American because of where my parents were born.
Yeah.
And now as I understand, as I see, and I know from a foundational Black American side, there's also people that believe that Africans or Caribbeans look down on Black Americans. So how do we bridge that gap? How do we bring us together? How do we get it to a point where we understand that we are brothers and sisters? We are not the minority, right? Because all of these different tricks, right? We are not the minority, despite what they try to tell you.
Yeah.
We are the majority. How do we create this inclusiveness so we can take our rightful spots on this earth?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I think first it's about having conversations, right? Like this.
Yeah.
I think that oftentimes we're told, again, forget the past. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I always find that interesting that many white people say that, right? Mm. And you know, for us, that's not even a consideration. Mm-hmm. We can't afford to do that because of where we come from and potentially where we could go back to if we become forgetful.
Exactly.
So we need to almost move like the model minorities, right? Which could be the Jews, the Indians, the Chinese or Asians, you know what I mean? Because of how their group economics kind of work for one another. And I think that, you know, we have to have the conversations about what happened. You know what I'm saying? How did we get here? So to that point, I'm a firm believer that some of the constructs that, you know, many people find themselves operating under are human. They're greed, you know what I mean? Envy, jealousy, all of those things, right? And we have all fallen victim to that. And so when you talk about being tribal, like it's easy. You could just be like, I'm Haitian and that's it. Well, that comes with a, you know, a lot more to it than just that title for yourself, right? You're a product of the diaspora from the continent too. We all are, absolutely. Whether or not we claim it. I like to think that your skin is your religion, whether you practice or not. Right. And the reality of it is, you know what I'm saying, you're going to be identified as, oh, just like the Jews were identified, like, no, you're Jewish.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Same thing with being black.
Yeah.
And if you have that, that's enough for someone else to say, oh yeah, I look down on them, right? So I think that we have to be able to talk about how we got to this place. But we also need to understand that, yes, there were some Africans that sold people into bondage. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 1,000%.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they're you know, no different than, you know what I'm saying, these white people that enslaved us, right? But I say we need to know these things because sometimes it kind of can take on its own life form, because, you know, we talk about the fruit, but we don't talk about, you know, the root. Mm. The same way that there were black people present when they came to get Emmett Till, because a white man uses black people to do his bidding.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't necessarily talk about that aspect of it, but there's always somebody black that we get in the midst.
Right.
The same way that even during the Holocaust, the term capo was for, you know, those Jews that the Nazis controlled to influence the rest of the prisoners.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of history that we just don't know.
Yeah.
And you know, what they say, you don't miss what you can't measure.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But when you start to be able to, like, oh, this adds up.
Yeah.
I understand what this is all about. And so again, we're global citizens.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Both, you know, through this unfortunate historical catastrophe that took place, but also as explorers.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So were black people here before Columbus? Mm. Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I was watching, there's a clip, some brothers, you know, saying on the continent that were talking about Mansa Musa, and they said that one brother said he felt like Mansa Musa's trip is what got everybody saying, what's going on over there? Because he came and disrupted the whole economy with the gold, right? And, you know, he had a brother. Mansa Musa had a brother that never returned.
Mm.
And, you know what I'm saying, some people think he ended up in South America or Central America. You know what I mean? Like, he took, because, you know, once you catch that current, it gets you here.
Right.
But we've been exploring this for a long time as black people.
Right.
But, you know, our history isn't given to us. So in turn, it doesn't help to reaffirm us.
Right.
So that we know who we are today. Our kids know who we are today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that these conversations are really necessary. And we got to get past the tribalism because that's what got us here in the first place. Because at the end of the day, let's also be clear about the fact that sometimes you just wanted your enemy out of your immediate. I just don't need this person causing me any more problems. If you're going to take them away, then do what you do.
Right.
We didn't know then. The world wasn't that small as it is now.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know what I'm saying, you don't understand the damning effect of some of your decisions in the moment.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, I say that because, you know, just like everything else, like, America is built on beating us down, so to speak, even with the food source.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If I get you hooked on sugar, I'm going to make a lot more money off of you than I would if you was hooked on crack at that.
Facts.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that are even more deadly than we know that are in our everyday, you know what I'm saying, environment. You know what I'm saying? No different than there's things they sell us in America that they wouldn't dare sell you in Europe.
Facts.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And you're like,
even ketchup. It was so crazy. I was watching a meme the other day. I'm like, in Europe, ketchup has one ingredient.
That's
tomato.
That's it, bro. In America, you got all these foreign elements and you don't know.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And that's the beauty of it is we're now starting to travel, right, as black people.
Yeah.
And I hope that as we move around and we're getting information, that we study as well, right? And just kind of like unpack that.
Yeah.
We should know as much as there is to know about Haiti, because guess what? Black America's freedom is hinged on Haiti's 1,000%. Back.
There would be no Louisiana.
It would be no whatever in America if the Haitian Revolution hadn't taken place.
Yeah.
And in fact, we acknowledge that as the biggest revolution of our people anywhere.
1,000%.
And we should. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes, other things have happened. And yes, we can debate, you know, some other things. But I think we have to collectively be inclusive. And I think Black America has to be inclusive of that, too.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not telling you there's ignorant people on both sides of the water.
Facts.
There are some Africans that might as well not even have been born there.
Mm-hmm.
And just because geographically that's where you are, does that make you more African than you or me or anybody else?
Right.
But just like you know that we're first generation here, when we show up over there at home, they're looking at us like American.
I 1,000%.
They ain't got nothing to do. And they're not seeing color because all they see is Black people.
Right.
So at that point, you just become American. And it's like, man, you got the money.
Right, exactly.
All right? And another way to kind of bring that home is also just understanding that with our people.
Hey, it's Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesac and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Want to skip the trial and error so you can head straight to success? Join me and incredible guests like Olympic legend Sean White and NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski as we share the lessons and mistakes that shaped our journeys. Ready to save yourself 25 years? Tune in on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson. Listen now.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For instance, they're building like KFCs and things of that nature at a crazy rate in Africa, right? And if you tell your African cousin, hey, man, you shouldn't eat that all the time. You know what I'm saying? I know it's good. I know it's new. But if you get hooked on this.
Yeah.
But they looking at you like, you've lived your life doing this. Right, now you want to impact me and tell me I can't?
Yeah.
It's not received the same. Yeah. And it's not meant with the ill intent. But oftentimes it happens because we're ignorant and we don't know what we don't know. So it's really incumbent on each of us to really, we gotta teach our brothers and sisters what we know.
Yeah.
At least I can say, hey, I shared this information with you because I want you to know so you can be better. Because in America, they got folks hooked. The same thing that they enslaved us over is the same thing that's got the country in a grip.
Mm. 1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%.
So, yeah.
What is the first step though, right? For like somebody who's looking to do business internationally, right? Like I, you know, probably in God's will, probably next year I want to touch all of the English speaking African countries, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Figure out, you know, where I want to do business, right? Because
because
I believe that and when one of my friends had said this to me was like, man, whatever is needed in America is needed in Africa too, you know. And so if you could thrive as a business person here, you could thrive as a business person in Africa and all the other diasporas. And so what is that first step? What does somebody have to do to—
I think you need to touch the soil first.
Okay.
Because you need to understand what the lay of the land, right? A lot of times they say, when in Rome, do as Romans do.
Yeah.
But if you ain't never been to Rome, you don't know what they
Facts.
Do, right? And so you don't want to be trying to do this in a virtual sense.
Yeah.
Like, because it doesn't move, it doesn't breathe the same way that it does over here. You know what I'm saying? We've got a refined system because this is a purely economic system. So you know that they made sure that all that other stuff, get that out the way we can get on to the business, right?
Yeah.
I think in Africa, you have to understand that there's certain things as far as how people show up, you know, culturally, you know what I'm saying, what they respond to. And, you know, again, being on the ground and then finding a good group of individuals who can help make your journey there easier, meaning can point you in the right direction. Like, I'm not gonna go to Haiti and not tap in with my Haitian friends.
1,000%.
Because it just doesn't make sense. Otherwise, you end up going down the wrong
street. Exactly.
And you like anything else, right?
Yeah.
And so I say, you know, you start there and then get a feel of what the needs are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, one of the things that I love about being, you know, in my current role is you know, the push to solve other people's problems. Mm-hmm. If you can solve other people's problems, then you have a business idea. You have a concept that you can then put to work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so, you know, you want to identify what are the needs, you know, both there and over here mm-hmm. that I can take advantage of. Mm-hmm. And then I think you start small. And then, you know what I'm saying? You know, you go through your trial and error period like you would with anything else, but at least, you know, the risk isn't so overwhelming that you just jumped out there, right? Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I don't suggest you go to Africa and tell everybody you're buying a bridge.
Right.
No different than I don't suggest you go to New York, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. if they say the Verrazano's up for sale, right. I'm not really going to believe that right. unless, mm-hmm. you know, I'm talking to some people that are really tied in. And yeah. so you got to do your research. You yeah. got to kind of, you know, saying get a feel. Like even being here, you got to travel. You yeah. got to go places yeah. so you can kind of like, you know, let me feel it. Let's taste it. You yeah. know what I mean? Touch yeah, this yeah. and let's see what this really is,
yeah.
you know, and what the makeup is so that you have a better idea of what the business is going to look like.
Yeah.
You can predict better. You yeah. know what I mean? Yeah. So I say just, you know, tap in with people that are from there that, you know, saying can assist, you know, and find out who they may have in their ecosystem that's actually doing business successfully.
Yeah. yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Because yeah. success is key to understanding whether or not you feel like you can do it. Because, of course, you run into unsuccessful people, you're like, oh, I'm not doing that ever. You know what
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just yeah. an understanding. Yeah.
And that's how I knew, like, things were changing, man. When I started seeing, you know, China, heavy in yeah. Africa, heavy in Jamaica.
Yeah.
When I started seeing, you know, Putin cozying up, I said, for all these years, you know what I'm saying, there was no love.
Let me tell you, bro.
That is cozying it up, you know what I mean?
This is the same thing that got Patrice Lumumba killed, right? Because they thought he was going to go, when the U.S. turned him down, you know what I'm saying, they thought he was going to the Soviet Union. Mm. So, of course, that poses a threat of, you know, you guys are spreading communism.
Right.
And I think that that's the other thing that we have to understand is that everything that's presented to us is not necessarily good for us,
yeah.
right? It's yeah. just, it's an option, like mm-hmm. anything else is an option. Just like, I don't think it's about Democrat or Republican. Mm. I think it's about policy.
Right.
It's policy, about what do you represent?
Right.
I'm not tied to the party, I'm tied to who can do the job.
Which goes back to tribalism again.
Tribalism.
Right? That gets us.
And but when it's convenient,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, let's run this play.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. When it's not convenient, then they let you know, no, that ain't it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's a foul on the play with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you said, I mean, you know, we have to kind of just know where, you know, we just need to, like, know where opportunities are.
Yeah.
We need to have, like, good mentors,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we also have to kind of know that sharing information, you know what I mean? You know, we have a lot of sayings, like in hip-hop, the game is to be sold, not to be told,
yeah.
and all types of wild things.
Yeah, yeah,
I got to get mine, you got to get yours.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Don't get me wrong, sounds great on a rap record,
right?
Sounds great when you got to, you know, set up the disc.
Yeah.
But in real life, to really factor in those group economics,
yeah.
we have to be willing to share information and
yeah.
we have to be able to, because your success
yeah.
will impact my success.
Facts.
If you're not successful,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying, in some way, shape, or form, it can have a real, you know, implication on me
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, like, if you talk about, let's just say Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
Those people needed each other.
Absolutely.
So, you know what I'm saying? That's why when I see people doing their thing, I'm like, bro, we need to lean into that.
1,000%.
I need to, you know what I'm saying? Even if it's just all I got is a word today, bro.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean? But
yeah.
keep going.
And the funny thing about it, though, is, like, I mean, we, you know, elephant in the room, right? We mm-hmm. talked about Diddy, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why stuff like that can happen,
mm-hmm.
right, is because of those sayings, because
yes.
of this power structure where we try to create one person or
yes.
one entity bigger than life. So
yes.
we don't, you know, when you think about the Diddy's coming up, there was plenty of opportunity
sure.
for knowledge to be shared throughout everybody, right? Instead of saying, I'm the man, and let me rise up as high as I could. Let me become, right, you know, Jay-Z and Diddy. Let's become, you know, I'm a reach a Billy first.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm a reach a Billy first. So now, is these two guys, by any means, trying to get to this billionaire status? What happens, though, when you take the two guys down?
Yeah.
Right? It's too easy of a target.
Yeah.
Right? You build this one community where all the wealth is, all I got to do is strike down that community and I tear everything down. So now I bring the two guys up and all I got to do is tear them down and that's it.
Yeah.
Opposed to, right, knowledge, right, is the one thing you could give away without losing any.
Sure.
You could give the knowledge away and you don't lose any.
Man, bro.
Right? You spread the knowledge around and oddly enough, I'm quoting Jay-Z, right? You know, if everybody in your crew is rich, your crew is rugged. Nobody will fall because everybody will be each other's crutches.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Say it again for the people in the back.
Man, I think we need to learn that. It's about sharing information. It's about sharing that knowledge. It's about and maybe that's why this is happening though. Yes. Even
yeah,
to show us.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree. I mean, listen, you know, we're talking about the end of an era right now.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, I don't think that maybe guys like Diddy don't seem to me to have duplicated themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't bring anybody else
yep.
up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And to your point, I feel like a lot of times that's intentional.
Yeah.
And this is not about... You know what I'm saying? Banging on him while he's down.
Right.
This is really about, like, you know, for everybody else. Because, absolutely. Again, all these sayings, mm-hmm. these become part of our subconscious.
Yeah.
And the English language, you know, almost can be very spellbound.
Mm-hmm.
And you not even know it.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
we just take these phrases and we just run with it. You know, and we're not even thinking about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like you said, with a Diddy, you know, unfortunately, I just don't see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it, right?
Yeah.
No different than I don't see who the next leaders are, so to speak, like Republican or Democrat.
Yeah.
I mean, we know there's a couple out there, but I'm just saying, not on purpose.
Correct.
And I feel like. You know, there's so much that we're still learning as we kind of go through this process. But I think that, you know, the more, you know, harmonious we can be about working with each other, supporting each other.
Yeah.
That's why I'm really happy to see black brands being supported now. There used to be a time that we weren't going to support one another because we looked at everything other than us as something of value.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And they gave us a complex.
Yep.
They made us hate ourselves.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And all these things are on purpose. I mean, as we all know, hell, go to the Caribbean or go to the continent and look at anybody utilizing skin bleaching cream. Like, if that's not the ultimate form of self-hatred, so to speak, then I don't know what is. And it's not, listen, I got family members, you know what I'm saying, that have done it, do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like when you know better, you're going to do better. And you can't turn off the light once things have been illuminated.
That's a fact, yeah.
So once you see it, it's like, man, I can't unsee that. I can't. There's nothing else I can do with that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But take that and figure out how can I be better, you know, or how can I help somebody else be better? And I think the real reason, you know, one of the tenets for us as well is reciprocal generosity for the company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about, you know what I'm saying, that's a practice that we as a people need across the board.
Mm.
Like, we need to be practicing that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Helping each other. Our philanthropy, again, it goes back to, I got mine, you got to get your...
Right.
Bro,
right.
It does not. The world doesn't work like that.
Right.
To whom much is given, much is also required.
Right.
So you got to make sure you're pouring in.
Yeah.
And again, you know, just... For one other vantage point on the thing with Diddy, I just didn't hear anybody come to his defense.
Right.
That was the most telling thing to me. 1,000%. For all what you've done, all your success and accomplishments, nobody stepped up to say,
no.
Man, this man, he changed my life.
Right.
Not one person. Right. I mean, even if they say all this other stuff happened,
mm-hmm.
because granted, like, even if let's talk about Bill Cosby for
mm-hmm.
a minute,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, who... Somebody I interviewed, and you know, they wanted me to go on CNN to really almost put us at odds against each other.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to do that, but he called, you know, my show in DC, and we had a very, you know, interesting conversation. And my thing to him was, these white people are using you because you're quote unquote America's dad and you have this image, but they will also discard you. And so when I look at, like, you know what I'm saying, a Diddy, it's like, man, you know, we want to be seemingly the only one in the room. And I say this a lot, until we end up and we realize we on the menu.
Right.
Now it's like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't bring anybody else along. And so, you know, that whole reciprocal generosity is about us pouring back into our community, into one another. You know, I always say that I think belief is the highest form of currency because it manifests itself into everything else you need, whether it's resources, you know what I'm saying, doors being open, just all of that, you know what I mean? And so we have to get back to that place of almost, what did we do when we didn't have any of these outside elements, when we only could depend on each other?
We thrived.
Yeah. We had no choice.
We had no choice.
You see what I'm saying? And I think that we got to be able to talk like that, good, bad, and indifferent.
Yeah.
Because there are some of us, listen, we can't save all of us, unfortunately, as much as we might want to. So we have to run with the willing. In much the same way that Harriet Tubman or Sojourner Truth and many of those heroes. And I think we need to get to a place where we're comfortable, you know, speaking, you know, with our women openly and acknowledging that leadership because it's always been present in, you know what I'm saying, in our dynamic, you know, historically. But I just think that, you know, the social constructs of America and all these other things have pushed us where we don't even know.
Right. We're buying into what they're teaching us, right? Not understanding that there were powerful queens in Africa. Zenga, Queen Amina. Like, there's been a lot of women who were in power, but we come to America and then we create this dynamic as if women are underclass to us.
Yes,
you know. I mean, and to men.
And that's on purpose, right? Yeah. And I think that the white male structure, which is basically what set up the structure of America, is what we are all operating under. So therefore, the woman isn't looked at that way naturally. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Whereas in Africa, you know what I mean? You know, she was, you know, ruling.
Right.
Right. And I think that there's a lot of wisdom that we can get. I think there's, you know, it's about balance and we're there to balance each other.
Yeah.
And I think that we've got to kind of figure out that next phase for ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Amongst leadership within the black community, you know, that eventually spills over to mainstream. Because once we get together and we're right, everybody else falls in line.
1,000% because at the end of the day, they follow. You know, everything that we're doing. Speaking about following and connectivity and getting everybody together, talk about Black Star Weekend.
Yeah, so Black Star Week is a vertical that I've been tasked with building out for our brand, our company. It's about, you know, bringing the best and brightest of us in the diaspora together. It's a combination of South by Southwest, Davos, and Art Basel. So it's you know, if you know about Davos and Switzerland, you know, the world economic, I know you would know, Ash, but it's, you know, bringing these elements into these spaces and places of culture, you know, artistry, you know, just that whole fusion, you know, because, you know, with South by Southwest, it just kind of setting this bar with film, you know, technology, music, you know what I mean? Infusing those elements because we naturally go to all these other places, but we've never necessarily had the things that we necessarily needed for us, you know? And so that was what the thought process was with this, so we could really speak to really closing the wealth gap in our community, because we're going through it and no one's coming to save us, right? And so if we don't get about the business of saving ourselves and doing things that, or at least creating spaces where we can, then, you know, you don't see it and, you know, you're not able to put that into motion. So Black Star Week is that. It's a week full of events beginning June 17th, technically, it's the week of Father's Day. 17th, we're with Black Man Lab, you know, on that Monday. Tuesday, we'll probably do something with Dope Peddlers. They are a group that does a lot of biking on the belt.
Oh, I know Dope Peddlers.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Jay Reed.
Haitian, but I think it's a Haitian brother that's part of that.
He too. Might be, yeah. He might be one of Jay's partners. Yeah, but, Jay is, been a, industry veteran. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're doing the Built for Wealth conference with, Tori and Aubrey Luckett. So I think that, all of these different things, because for us this year was about, these right partnerships.
Yeah.
And
it's rolling around Juneteenth.
Right? Yeah, and we got a 5K on that Wednesday that we're a part of with Effect Fitness. Sheila O with Afro Zones is coming in. We're going to be doing a music panel with her. Michael Malden, is another one of our allies. Yeah, yeah, so getting all these people kind of together in the same rooms so that we can have some positive impact conversations and we can really amplify ourselves on a whole nother level, right? Yeah. And so, this is our inaugural one. It's exciting, you follow us at ATL Black Star, follow me, but, we're going to be constantly sharing that information. And, Ash, we got to get you. I mean, Built for Wealth,
Yeah, we got to make it happen. Because that's the thing, I know Atlanta Black Star, definitely however way it makes sense, well, man, because I think that at the end of the day, to your point, unfortunately, right, it's always the negative things that get highlighted when people are doing good in the community. We don't, it's not fun. That's not sexy. It's not, a good thing to spread around. But I think that I think that comes with the mindset. I think that mindset can change, because even when I think about where we are today from a receptive perspective, right? So I remember, I started my, I was a banker for 15 years, 2009, wrote my first book. I remember a legend rapper and I were like friends, we're still friends, but was a friend of mine. And they saw what I was doing and took me over, had access to everything, took me over to a television station and said, I had this idea, we're going to do this show on financial, literacy, financial education, entrepreneurship for Black people. And literally, I tell the story all the time, but literally the producer said, Black people do not want to learn about money. And was like, nope, bad idea. And in my head, I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. But fast forward a decade later, there's a bigger appetite for it.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy in the direction that we're going.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it went from, nope, this is not going to work, to now, there's big conferences, Black Star Week.
Sure.
Invest Fest in Atlanta. Yes. Thousands of people, right?
Because
I had the privilege to speak at Invest Fest all years, right?
Yeah.
And I know last year, 20,000, I stood on stage in front of 20,000 people
massive.
Who actually came to learn about money.
Yeah, man.
Right? And I think they came specifically for that, right?
Sure.
And so I love the direction that we're going.
Sure.
And I love anybody that's part of the culture who is their main goal is to push the culture forward.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you, brother, and I think that it's just about, being in fellowship with like-minded people like yourself. That's why, I'm really excited, one, to be able to amplify a couple, like Dobry and Tori.
Yeah.
And what they're doing, when it comes to just wealth.
1,000%.
And
our
mindset around that, because a lot of us don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
It's like anything else with Black people. We'd be like, Black people don't swim.
Right.
But when we do.
Exactly.
What I'm saying? Exactly. Black people don't kayak.
Right.
You're right. But when we do.
Yeah.
We do it high level. And so that's what, to me, this is. And it's about exposing as many of us as possible. And again, I think, we come from the mindset that we know no one's coming to save us.
1,000%.
So if we don't do it ourselves, it doesn't get done.
And to that point though, like even when you think about, what Dobry and Tori have created, It's also this level of preparation that needs to happen, right? When you think about being built for wealth, like what does that mean?
Yes.
Right? What does it mean to be built for wealth? It's saying, listen, it's not just about even going back to the reparation conversation, right? Whether I'm a foundational Black American or not, I do not suggest cash payments. Why?
Yeah.
Because I eat, live, breathe financial education. I know what my people do. If you give my people millions of dollars, trillions of dollars, right now, it will go back into the hands of the people who have oppressed us.
Yes.
We don't even need nowhere else to see it, but what happens with us being a $1.4 trillion economy who still owns nothing, right? And so at the end of the day, we are being tricked into thinking that making money is wealth. That's the one thing I hate. Everybody's like, yo, let's build generational wealth. Generational wealth, and look at me when I say this. Generational wealth is not income. You can make $1 million and be poor. You can make multi-millions of dollars and be poor and live paycheck to paycheck.
A lot of artists,
a lot of artists, like, again, I won't say names, but I have somebody on my phone right now who generated $300 million in their career, and they do not have money, right? And so making money is not, that does not mean that it's wealth.
It doesn't equate.
It doesn't equate.
Yeah.
And so when you say built for wealth, there are things, there are prerequisites, right?
Yeah.
There are prerequisites that have to happen in order for your wealth to be something.
Yes.
For you to actually build wealth, you know?
You said a lot there.
My fault. It's my passion talk.
Listen, we in the pulpit. And that conversation there is spot on, and I really appreciate that. And I wanted to say this about reparations that I didn't say earlier. One, the same things that happened on the continent, or the same things that happened in America, happened on the continent in the Caribbean as well.
Yeah.
Right? Many of us just don't know it.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know what I'm saying? You would just be as equal to reparations as well.
Actually.
The Caribbean. I mean, if we're talking about what America did to Haiti, and so many other places, of course. But you know, people have, you know, we've envisioned this long, in my mind, Mega Millions line,
right,
or lottery line that we're all going to be lining up in to get our. I know. You know, they played with the fantasy during, you know, the pandemic and, you know what I'm saying, the way these checks kind of came. But it's like, bro, that's not it. That's not how this works.
Right.
So I agree. And I think that conversation has to be continuous in terms of what is going to be the best.
I agree.
I do think that it's more realistic now than it's probably been, you know what I'm saying, ever, because I think the world knows.
Correct.
It's the same way these, you know, these French-speaking African countries are getting rid of France.
Yeah.
And they're asking them to leave.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing what Haiti set the tone for.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, you cannot, like, again, I always make those historical references to, like, Haiti, you know, Jamaica, because these are things that are mighty engines in this overall vehicle that we're talking about pushing forward. And so I think all of that's really, you know, is necessary, and we got to learn each other's dialect a little bit more. We got to learn each other's language a little bit more.
Yeah.
At least try.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because when you come to America, you have no choice. You're going to be influenced by Black. The swag, the culture, it is what it is.
Facts. Yeah.
White people have found themselves overwhelmed by it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So when you're Black, it's just, it's natural. You know what I mean? And I think the more that, you know, we know, and the more that we're in these dialogues like this, the better off we are.
Yeah, 1,000%. And even to talk about the French, right? A lot of people I don't know if they know this or want to know this, but, you know, even after Haiti got its independence, it paid reparations to France.
Come on,
$60 billion to France.
Come on, man.
And so when you talk about Haiti being a poor country, why though?
How?
You know what I'm saying?
But the framework, again, you know what I'm saying? Like, boy. I could go a lot of places with it, but I appreciate everything that you're saying, Ash, and it's the truth.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? And look, truth don't need no cosigner, bro.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Listen, we need you to tap in Black Star Weekend, right?
Yeah.
Black Star Weekend. Oh, Black Star Week, right?
Yeah, it's the whole week.
It's not even the weekend.
Yeah.
It's the whole week. Black Star Week. I need you to tap in starting
June 17th.
Yeah. June 17th.
Yeah.
You know,
ending on June 22nd, you know what I'm saying, with the Built for Wealth conference over at the Lowe's. Tori and Darby Luckett. And man, when I say that we're looking to, you know, this is an annual thing for us.
Sir.
So, you know, the more that we can amplify other black businesses, other thought leaders, the better the direction is that we're heading now. So, man.
All right. So where can people find information about Black Star?
You know what? You know, go to atlblackstar.com, theshadowleague.com, fanura.com as well. And then, of course, you know, we'll be sharing some different things on social media beginning this week that people will see with our partnerships and whatnot.
So, perfect.
Yeah.
And if somebody wanted to connect with you,
oh,
we got to do a part two because there's a lot about you I ain't tap into, man.
No, we're going to come back. Definitely. Yeah, yeah. You know, like to think of, I'm a friend of the show, family.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But yeah, get at me at Osei the Dark Secret, OSEITHEDARKSECRET.
Yeah. All right, y'all. We are closing out the vault. Another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Make sure, listen, follow us on all social media platforms at Inside the Vault. Go to our website, InsideTheVaultTV.com. Me, I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, IamAshCash.com. Follow me on all social media platforms at I am Ash Cash, and make sure you join the Abundance Community. We got a lot of behind-the-scenes footage, and, you know, Osei's going to give us some gems that he did not talk about on the show, so make sure y'all tune in for that. But go to theabundancecommunity.com, and insiders, I appreciate y'all. Make sure y'all like, subscribe, share with your family, share with your friends. We will see you next time, same place, but guess what? In God's will. All right, y'all. Peace!
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.